day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight's topic is when we wrestle with God. When we wrestle with God. We're going to be looking at how many applications that has and what that means for the life of a Christian. So we thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can also have access to our live feed. You can also contact us via the contact page or at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com, as well as on Facebook. You can also listen to all of our podcasts. You can download them straight from iTunes. So you can listen to it on your smartphone or your MP3 player or in your computer whenever at your convenience. And also a reminder, we continue to have our Wednesday night Bible study. We're continuing in the book of Philippians that you can listen to live on Wednesday night, either through our webpage or you can download the TuneIn radio app so you can hear it on your smartphone. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Lord, we pray for your people and for us, Father, to understand, not to wrestle with you, but to understand you and to allow ourselves to be led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. O mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. Lord of hosts, you the oceans roar. You are the Lord, you are the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still.
Are you wrestling with God? This is something in which many of us don't think about, but it happens every day in our walk with Christ. We question things like, when am I going to be healed? When will I have financial breakthrough? Or for some, did God really call me into full-time ministry? We say, Lord, I need a sign. I am not sure. This is something that also occurs to many of the men whom God called in the Bible. Let's look at Moses, for example. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 4 through 11, God called Moses from a burning bush. He told them that he wanted to use him to go and free God's people from bondage in Egypt, and to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. However, Moses replied to God was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Isn't this what most of us tell God when we are called to serve him or when we are in need? You see, the problem here is not what God thinks and wants for us. It is how we receive it. Exodus 3:14. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. One of the biggest problems we have today in reference to healing is that many churches are teaching that Christians should not be sick. Furthermore, they say that if a person is sick, it is because they are in sin and rebellion against God. They also teach that we have the power to command God to heal us. However, when we don't receive our healing, we become discouraged and angry. This has caused people to argue with God and fall away from the faith. Job 10:1. I hate my very life, therefore. I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. The same thing is happening in the prosperity movement. People are told that God wants them rich and that by applying a simple technique, it will make them wealthy. They say that the deeper you go into your pocket and give to the church will determine the percent you will get back. The problem with these two scenarios is that we are trying to make deals with God, and that is not how it works. He is not a lottery machine where you put in a dollar and receive 500 back, nor can he be commanded to do anything by us. He does what he wants and when he wants. Although we cannot understand it, there are reasons and lessons that we need to learn. However, for some people, it causes them to question God's love, and they struggle with this daily. Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Another area that we struggle with is our calling from God. There is a real problem today with the body trusting in God. Many of us, when asked if we believe that when we die, we are going to heaven, will say yes. But when we are called to serve God, we start to question his calling, and we ask the Lord to give us a sign. Isn't this what the Pharisees did? In the same way we believe in our salvation, we must also believe that God is our provider and step out in faith. This reminds me of a man who I met. Every time I saw him, he would tell me that God called him to be an evangelist to the nations. However, he has never stepped out of his neighborhood to do so, and that is as far that he has gone with his calling. Another time, I met a man who was called to be a bishop in a church. He had a good paying job, and he said he wrestled with God because he knew he was called to serve in the church, but he did not want to let go of his job. After going through many financial struggles, one day he was driving to work and his car broke down. He threw his arms up in the air and asked God, "What do you want from me?" He knew the answer. Later, he opened up a church, and he said he has never lacked anything. Friends, like I mentioned, there are many reasons why people wrestle with God. Instead of fighting with him, we must understand and trust whatever God's will is for our lives. He knows what lies ahead that we can't see. We must become like babies in a mother's care, dependent totally on his guidance and direction. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
One of the most discouraging things in the Christian life is, no doubt, unanswered prayer. We're praying for unbelieving relatives to come to Christ, for to overcome the power of sin in our lives, prayer for healing and for financial breakthrough, as Brother Lewis had mentioned. And we begin to lose hope when we see time pass by without us receiving our request. And the problem is that we live in a generation where we have been programmed to seek instant gratification. And unfortunately, that ideology has also crept into the minds of Christians. We want instant relief from our problems, and that is understood. However, when relief doesn't come right away, we should not lose heart. We must keep watching and waiting on the Lord. Much of the man-centered theology has crept through our impatience. Instead of praying, "Thy kingdom come, Jesus, come and establish your kingdom on the earth," as the Bible teaches us, we now have people that believe they have to do God's job for them. And there's a danger when we take things into our own hands. We look at the life of Abraham. God promised him that he would have a son. And because he listened to his wife and took matters into his own hands, he gave birth to Ishmael. And because he took things into his own hands and he did not wait upon God, he had to suffer the heartbreak of having to banish Ishmael from the camp. And not only was that the consequence of that, but their descendants also pose a threat to Israel today. Or we look at the life of Saul, who in 1 Samuel 13, 10 through 14, because of his impatience and waiting for Samuel, he took into his own hands to perform the sacrifice that pertained to the priest. And because of his impatience, he violated the holy standards of God. And in doing so, God said that his kingdom would not continue. We must, as Christians, be patient, yet persistent in prayer. In fact, Jesus Christ himself encourages us to do so. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he gives us a parable. And we're going to see what's the purpose of the parable. Verse 1 says, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Right away, Jesus tells us the purpose of this parable is so that we pray always and that we do not faint. Do not faint when the answer to your prayer delays. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Even in your car, on your way to work, talk to God. Even while we are at work, we should be talking to God. See, the richest part of being a Christian is not just getting God's favor and his blessings, but God's greatest favor and greatest blessing is God himself. We are instructed to walk moment by moment, holding on to the hand of our Father. How we would live far less stressful lives if we would just be in continual communication with our Father, opening up to him our hearts moment by moment. Jesus ripped the veil in two, which kept us from even taking a peek into the Holy of Holies. So that it's not just a place where the high priest entered once a year, but now it is a place where we can dwell continually. Or better yet, that he dwells in us. He makes us, our bodies, the Holy of Holies. And Jesus continues in verse 2, he's saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded men. In this parable here, we see that the Lord is referring to an unjust judge, a corrupt judge who does not fear God, a man lacking compassion, lacking wisdom, and because the scripture tells us that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And this judge did not fear God. And he says in verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. This widow had no one that could help her. And she is a representation of the helpless, the poor, the destitute, those that cannot fend for themselves. And here she is seeking to have justice of her adversary. And just like this widow, you and I both have an adversary. Satan, which by the way means adversary. Many of us have had our lives robbed and spoiled by the devil and his demons. Families broken, children in rebellion, your health taken from you, bound to addictions, bound to depression. Why not take it to the courts of heaven before your heavenly Father? For surely the wolf is more afraid of the shepherd than he is of the sheep. When Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, has a messenger of Satan that would buffet him, he seeks out the Lord to cause it to depart from his life. And likewise, we must first seek the shepherd. And it may be that he will bring the liberation either through a pastor, through the Spirit's intercession and guidance and prayer. But nevertheless, it is he who we must seek first. After all, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else should be added on to you. And verse 4, he says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Because his widow continued to be persistent, this unjust judge finally executed justice on her behalf. And how much more will the just judge of all the universe not execute justice for his people? Will he not listen to their distress and rescue them? Those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of his Son, those who he predestinated to be saints from the foundation of the world. Jesus encourages us to continue hoping, to continue praying. And of course, we're talking here about people that are not living in sin, that are walking right with God, that have no reason why their prayers should be hindered. And Jesus ends this parable with a question. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When I used to read this last portion of the verse, I would always quote it outside of content. I would apply it to the wickedness of the last days. Man, is it going to be so evil that Jesus asked the question, is there going to be any faith? And though that application is valid, yet looking at the context, Jesus here is speaking to Christians. Will we give up hope of seeing justice executed on the earth on our behalf? Or will we continue in prayer with our faith firmly placed upon Jesus? Don't give up on your prayers for your children, your relatives that are lost. Don't stop praying about that sin that you just can't seem to conquer. Don't stop praying for that healing in your life. Don't stop praying for the restoration of your marriage. Don't stop praying for that financial breakthrough in your life. The problem is that we give up easily. We don't know how to wrestle in prayer. We don't know how to persevere. I want to look at a story of a man who in the scriptures, the Bible shows us, that wrestled with God. And see if there's anything that we can glean from that account. Jacob is a very interesting character in the Bible. We see that he has a special personality. He is a trickster. He tricks his older brother into selling his birthright. Then he tricks his father into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. In fact, the name Jacob means supplanter, heel catcher, but can also be interpreted as trickster. And Jacob was a man that needed to be changed. He needed to be transformed, as we do also. And many of us continue to battle with the traits of the old man, the fallen nature. We have areas of our lives that still need to be transformed. And like Jacob wrestled with God, we also need to wrestle in prayer with the Lord. We find this account in Genesis 32. And in this chapter, we see that Jacob and his family are about to encounter his brother Esau, who had in Genesis 27:41 proposed in his heart to kill his brother Jacob for robbing him of his blessing. Jacob is now scared that his life and the life of his family are in danger. And this fear that overtook him caused him to seek the presence of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, often the most difficult times in our lives are the times that we come closer to God. Just like the widow who had no hope in herself to avenge her adversary, here Jacob knows that without the help of God, he is in his brother's hands, who with vengeance in his heart would slay him and his family. And with the fear on his heart, he seeks deliverance by God's hands. In fact, we read, the scripture records the prayer. In Genesis 32:9, the scripture says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, The Lord which said unto me, Return unto my country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. And one of the important things that we also see here about Jacob is that he is pointing, he points to walking in obedience to the Lord. He is praying according to the will of God. When we pray according to God's will, we can be confident that he will perform it. He says that he tells God that you told me to return to my country. He is quoting God's word, not his own word. And he says in verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time when everybody thinks they deserve everything. As Brother Lewis was mentioning, we have Christians that talk to God as if God was their butler. Like if he's some kind of genie that wants to grant you magical wishes. When we come before the throne of God, we must come with humility, knowing that we are spiritually bankrupt. And the only reason we can bring our case before the Father is because the blood of Christ that has brought us near. It's because the Father sees us dressed in the robe of righteousness bestowed upon us through the sacrifice of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 11, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. What is the basis of Jacob's prayer? God's promises. In fact, he quotes the word of God. He says, As you said, that you will do good to me, and make my seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered my multitude. He quotes the word of God. The most powerful prayers are the ones which we pray the word of God. In fact, when we look at the Psalms, we see that they are not only hymns, they're not only theology, but are also some of the most intimate prayers of King David for deliverance, and worship to God. The way we wrestle in prayer, brother and sister, is by wrestling with the promises of God, is by standing on them, by taking hold of them. What often forces us to wrestle is when we find ourselves in moments of desperation, moments where we just can't take it anymore. And in verse 24, when what the scripture says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. You see that Jacob, at this point, it was night, and he found himself alone. He already had sent his family forward, and it was just him by himself. And we see that we will find in our greatest struggles that we may be surrounded by support of brothers and sisters, yet we face it alone. When David faced Goliath, though he had the army of Israel behind him watching the battle, yet in the valley, it was just him, Goliath, and of course, the Lord. And there will be a time when no one will be able to relate to the grief that is in your heart, to the burden that is on your back. And it must be only you and the king. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the man till daybreak. The whole night he spent wrestling. And in Luke 6:12, we see the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ continued all night in prayer before he chose his disciples. I'm sure that was not the only instant in where he spent the whole night praying. How many of us have ever spent a night wrestling in prayer, making supplication to the Lord? How many of us have been desperate enough to forsake sleep so that we can war in the prayer closet for our marriages, for our families, for our spiritual state? How many of us have been desperate enough to take hold of the promises of God until daybreak? Brother, sister, how desperate are you? How desperate are you to overcome the sin that continually knocks you down? How desperate are you to see your family saved? How desperate are you to see fulfilled in your life the promises of God, to see your children be loosed from the hand of Satan, to see your life be transformed by the power of God? Verse 25 says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. When we wrestle with God, we will be broken. Like Isaiah, who in the presence of God immediately became aware of his unclean lips. We too come to understanding of our sin when we come before the presence of a holy God. And it is better to be broken than to be crushed. In fact, Matthew 21:44 says, and whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. This encounter changed Jacob's life. After he was wrestling with God, he never again was able to walk the same. And the same is for a person who has encountered God. The person who encounters God can never walk the same as they did before, because they are changed and transformed by the encounter. You can only look at the food of pigs for only so long before you remember that there is bread in your father's house. A person who has been genuinely transformed and has seen the glory of God has been completely born again cannot live in filth. In verse 26, and he said, let me go. This is the angel speaking, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We need to be a people that refuse to let go of the promises of God. A people that believe with their whole hearts the word of God. And this time, Jacob didn't rely on tricks. He didn't try to manipulate his way. Rather, he wrestled until the blessing came. And verse 27 says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. After this encounter with God, Jacob was never the same. When before he walked with confidence in his own strength, now he walked with a cane, yet full of faith. He had been changed, transformed, and delivered. We brothers have been given precious promises in Christ Jesus. Let us war with them. Let's be like Jacob that refused to let go. Let's be like Jacob who was broken by God, so that God can get the greater glory in our lives.
Amen. I would like to add a little bit to the story that Pastor Javer just spoke about Jacob. And one that many people overlook. And this is that Jacob was called to the position that he had by God before he was born. Because when we look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, the word of God says, the Lord said to her, that's his mother, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. This is a perfect example of somebody that has been called by God and yet chooses to wrestle, in other words, to take things into his own hand. Whether Jacob would have stole the blessing from his father or not. God had already preordained that he was going to be the one chosen. The fact that Jacob was a man that was wrestling with his brother and wrestling with God and wrestling, trying to win things on his own, is because he was suffering with completely believing and trusting that God was going to give him this calling. Until the end, that he wrestled with God and God blessed him, I don't think he really understood it before then that he was the one chosen. And after that, we read that Jacob completely changed. And that's what's happening to a lot of us today, brothers and sisters. We're wrestling with God for many things. And the Bible doesn't tell us to rest in him. The Bible tells us to have faith in him. Many people are losing their minds because of things that may seem impossible now, but in a few days, a few months, or a few years, it'll be solved. We worry about things that we shouldn't need to worry about them. What we need to do is pray and ask God for his guidance, for his help to get us through them. But if when we get like Jacob and we start taking things in our own hands, that's like telling God, look, your word is not sufficient. Or, you know, I don't think you could complete this task for me. I'm going to have to take control over my situation. And if we are going to believe in God for certain things, and not all things, then why spend our time with him or give our lives to him if what he says and promises he's not going to complete? Our God is a just God, and our God will complete everything that he has said.
waters. You are in the shadows of death's darkened doors. You make tables right before my enemies. You take oil and then you pour it over me. You are my shepherd. I will fear no evil.
Fear no evil.
You are my shepherd.
Father God, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name. We come before you tonight, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters, Father, that have some form of struggle tonight, whether it be a struggle in their families, a struggle in their marriages, struggle with their children, struggle with their health, struggle with some sin in their life. We pray, Father God, that they would not lose hope, that they would not give in, that they will not give up, Father, but that, Lord, tonight you will strengthen the spirits of those who have cast down, that you will lift them up, Father God, that you, Lord, will bring light into their hearts and minds, Lord, that you will bring restore the joy of your salvation, Father. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will minister to your people tonight, Father, that you will strengthen those, Father, who are weary, that you will lift up those who are cast down, Father, and that, Father, that we may be filled, Father, with your love tonight, with new strength, Father, that, Lord, that as your scripture says, Lord, that those that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed, Father, and we pray that you give us patience, that we may wait, Father, for your scripture says, oh, Lord, that the joy comes in the morning, at daybreak. When the sun rises, your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we ask that you give us grace, Lord, to cope with the things that we are fighting with, Lord. And that, Lord, that you will allow us to be faithful in all our ways to the glory of your name, to the glory of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I would like to read a scripture to you. And this is in the book of Numbers 23:19. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is something that each and every one of us should hold on to. When God calls us or speaks to us about anything, we can be sure that he is going to complete it. So I don't know tonight what you might be suffering with. I don't know if maybe you are in a hospital, or if you're suffering with a son or a daughter that has left your home, or perhaps you find yourself today in jail. I guarantee you, my friends, if you commit your life to God, he will change it. He will transform it.
Well, we thank you for tuning in tonight to Radio Redemption and Power. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, and there never seems to be enough time when we're speaking about the Word of God. And we thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can listen to all of our podcasts as well as our live feed. And you can also contact us via the contact page on there as well. Thank you again for listening. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.